Welcome to the fresh and vibrant airwaves of the Pride and Promotion Podcast. Strap in and turn up the volume because you've landed on the podcast that's setting the bar for the most dynamic and inclusive marketing conversations. Join your host, Joseph Federico, as he prepares to dive into the world of marketing with an inclusive twist where we spotlight the LGBT community and celebrate the power of diversity. Get ready to be motivated as we bring in some of the most influential LGBT entrepreneurs and marketing trailblazers who are reshaping the...
Everybody, I'm Joe Federico. Welcome to another episode of Pride and Promotion Podcast. Today is a special episode. I have my producer, Scott, who's my mentor and has been working in this industry, podcasting and video and everything in between, with Pride, of course, for over 8 years. Scott, thank you so much for joining me today on the second episode of Pride and Promotion Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm so excited for you and this podcast venture. I'm honored to be producing you, and what a thrilling ride this is going to be. Good you.
Thank you so much again for mentoring me through this. I have had a lot of experience in which we could talk of in future episodes. In television, I started off at MSNBC, working in PR, running event management. We talked about on the last episode of the podcast, trade shows. Now I'm working, in podcasting, which is amazing. And we have a lot to say, again, full of pride. So you have all the experience we'll get into in a few minutes, but can you tell the audience more about how you got into podcasting about 8 years ago? So the floor is yours.
Yeah, I came into it by accident, actually. It was July of 2015. In January, my father got real ill, so I had to leave my job and go home and take care of him. My mom is 5 foot period. My dad was 6 foot three and about 285 pounds, so she couldn't really handle him. And so I moved in to help take care of my dad. And it was really kind of boring because he was not doing much but sleeping and trying to just kind of do his thing. And he was in kind of his final days. He had a couple heart attacks, a couple problems. So it was just kind of, I was there for them, which was nice for me to do, but there wasn't that much to do. I was there for when he was awake. So I was listening to a lot of podcasts at the time. I enjoyed listening to different comedy podcasts and LGBTQ podcasts. And I was the chairman of my Pride Center here in Northeast Ohio for a few years. So being part of the LGBTQ community was very important to me. So I thought, well, why don't I try this podcasting thing? It was still relatively new. There was a lot of them out there, but it was still not a lot. I would say probably 5 to 10 LGBTQ podcasts at the time. Now there's over a couple hundred easily. So I happened to get lucky in a couple of ways. My podcast started 5 days after marriage equality became the law of the land. Wow. And what my very first podcast, my first guest was part of that marriage equality lawsuit. She just happened to be a good friend of mine from here in Ohio. Her and her wife were part of the marriage equality for kids. They had a kid together and they wanted to be co-mommies together and everything. Yeah. So they were part of the Obergefell case, a different part of it. So my very first show 5 days after marriage equality was with one of the plaintiffs that won that suit. So that was exciting. And it kind of went from there. Back in that day, you can still kind of reach out. I mean, you're all about the social media marketing. That's what you do. You might remember 8 years ago, you could actually reach out to celebrities and they might actually talk back to you, right? It wasn't all the filters they have anymore, right?
Right. True story.
So I was just putting out random requests to social media through Twitter. And I don't think even Instagram was a thing that much back 8 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
I was going through Twitter to everybody and just happened to land some really cool guests and got really lucky that way. And it started from there. And now I'm in my seventh season. So exciting stuff.
I'm in awe of that because I remember 2015 I was still in, publishing. I wasn't even really breaking out into marketing at that point and just writing business plans. So I also was very into, running an LGBT, WordPress.com website. It wasn't even published. I was still working in the celebrity realm at that time, but you are 100% correct, which is crazy. You could reach out to celebrities over their Twitter Instagram wasn't really a thing. You can even send them personal emails and they probably would have responded. So you really lucked out. It was the right time at the right place back in 2015, around that time, where people actually responded to you. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. It was right place, right time. And it just was kind of exciting because you also have to look at our LGBTQ niche, right? It's not the most marketed business, right? We have a lot of our actors, singers have trouble getting in mainstream press. So there's not an underground of LGBTQ press, but they're looking for any publicity they can get. So if you offer them a platform to talk about their music, their television, their shows. Back when I started out, web series was big because there was it was hard for people to get series, right?
Yeah.
So I had a lot of LGBTQ actors that were just creating their own web series that were really fun. And so it was a way for them to kind of get noticed and talk about their projects. And it's always tough to get in the LGBTQ into mainstream media to begin with. So
yeah.
I think our artists and everything are very appreciative of those that try to get their work out in the public.
So here's a question for you. Back, over seven seasons ago, how do you feel, or if you recall, how did your guests that were celebrities in our community under the rainbow, right, full of pride, market themselves back then? Like, what were you seeing on their social media accounts that really stood out to you that you think that they did a great job in doing?
Well, I think it was just the consistency of it. You talk about marketing all the time. Consistency is important, right? You need to do things. And there was, I would follow certain people like Kevin McHale from Glee at the time. It was very proficient. One of the early Twitter adopters and was always talking about new bands he'd seen, television things, kind of behind the scenes. And when you get that kind of behind the scenes look, it was very interesting. He's now been on my show twice. But it's like it was people like that that were interesting to me. People that would talk about the business in some sense. People that would talk, give the inside information of a movie, of who was working with who and what was happening. So I kind of like the inside baseball stuff, so to speak. That's what kind of hit my hot button at the time.
Okay. Now, with your podcast, let's jump for one moment. How did you come up with Left of Straight? Where did that come from? In a dream? Did you go into, well, it was before AI. How did you come up with that name for your podcast, your first podcast?
You know, I've been asked that before and I have trouble giving a good answer. I remember reading
the question, is it?
I need to find myself a good answer. I remember reading or seeing something where it's like someone was saying something just a little off center. It was a conversation about something and something's a little off center. And then someone I think one of my friends threw a gay reference into there with that. It's like, that's a little off center. So am I, as a matter of fact, and everything. So I thought, Left of Straight. That's kind of an interesting, it was just a play on words more than anything else.
Because to me, it makes sense because the queer community is a whole spectrum. We're not straight and narrow. So the Left of Straight to me means queer or LGBT or homosexual. That when I first was approached by you, when I was on your podcast, several months ago, it just made total sense. And it is a play on words. It's very smart.
Yeah, it does leave the spectrum very open. It lets a lot of people, it kind of pulls everyone. I mean, we have how many letters in the alphabet now? LGBTQIA, LMNOP. It's like there's so many, but as you say, Left of Straight kind of covers everybody. It's not quite straight, just a little bit left of it. Whatever you identify as, whatever you want to be, is kind of a little left of straight. So yeah, it worked out good.
Now, that was the original name of the podcast from the beginning, correct?
From the very beginning, right.
Okay. Now, how about your other podcast that you just launched? Explain that to us.
Well, I've always been trying to reinvent myself a little bit and do different things. So Left of Straight show was my flagship show, right? Left of Straight show was a little bit of everything. I tried to keep it to my interest at the time. My interest was definitely entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. So that's always been my core issues.
Yeah.
But then we kind of, I branch out from time to time and try different things and things from time. So last season, I started a new podcast with a friend from Spokane, Washington, called Bears of a Certain Age. And that's kind of geared towards the older gay male bear and chub communities and everything. And just a lifestyle show where we just talk about what it's like to not be 30s anymore. It's a little different than the gay culture. So yeah. We talk about for gentlemen approaching 50 and up, different just lifestyle things that are fun, things that are hard, things that are that we still try to get across. So that was kind of fun to start last year. This year, because we're in such a political season again, 2024 with a presidential election and with LGBTQ rights kind of swinging on the pendulum back from that 2015 marriage equality in the Supreme Court. Now yeah. We're penduling back the other direction. I'm doing a show that I did back, I think the third or fourth year I was podcasting, called Standing on My Soapbox. And that's where I can take a more serious approach to things instead of doing the comical entertainment and things like that. This is more talking about religion, talking about politics, talking about human rights and everything. And we have this young girl the other day that was beaten up in her school and in the restroom and died. I mean, there's so that's not necessarily, it's not something I should really be talking about on my entertainment show. So it's something I could talk, get on my soapbox and talk about bullying and tragedies and things like that. So that's in the mix now. So I still do leftist right, I call it leftist right interviews now, which is my entertainment interviews. Mm-hmm. And then I do Standing on My Soapbox and Bears of a Certain Age. So I try to keep myself not getting bored, you know?
Well, your episodes just get better and better. I see people on Instagram and influencers and artists and authors. I'm like, how do you get those guests on your show? It's amazing. It's very, 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 very commendable. Very commendable. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And I mean, it's a tribute to what you do. Honestly, 8 years into it now, I am still getting, I would say, depending on the week, 40 to 60%, I still get over social media. I mean, wow. I now have a lot of publicists that I work with that I've kind of, I've got these, made these connections throughout the years. And so I have people reaching out to me and I have people I can reach out to. So that's in there. But still, I would say, depending on the week, 40 to 60% is just reaching out on social media. I see them do a post. And it's like, this is religion, or I got a film coming up or something that's interesting. So, well, that sounds pretty interesting. And I reach out, mm-hmm. like, just as a matter that's of right. fact, I had a guy, I saw a post the other day about a new app this young guy created for LGBTQ businesses across the country. And it's called Everywhere is Queer. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And it's like a geo thing. It'll tell you, you can plug in the app wherever you're at, and it'll tell you what LGBTQ owned businesses are around. So I looked up the website. It had a contact information on that. Got this guy. He's going to be on my show in 2 weeks. So it still works really, really well. What if I find something that kind of interests me, I'll find a way to reach out to it.
And that's the power, folks, of social media. Number one is being consistent, sharing the news about yourselves, right? It's like being your own, you know, publicist, but just through these free platforms. And it sounds like it's a hookup site, but for gay businesses, correct? Sort of
basically,
just a
video. Basically, I mean, they used to do it for, I remember Food Channel used to do it. Remember how they had all those Food Channel shows? So they made a map where you could look up and see if any of the restaurants in the air were featured on a Food Channel show somewhere. Yep. This is the same thing. You can look up any zip code and you can see if there's any LGBTQ-owned businesses in that area. And they might be salons, restaurants, bookstores, wherever they happen to be.
It's just
a kind of a Everywhere is Queer app where you can find LGBTQ businesses. Because we try to support each other, obviously, and it's just kind of a cool thing that I saw.
And we should be doing more of that too, you know, in our community. But this is a whole different topic. But sometimes we can be all talk, and now it's time for action, especially what's going on politically and everything else. So speaking of marketing, I have a background, of course, in working in PR and also celebrities and event management. How did you start to market Left of Straight over 7 seasons ago? I know you got the guest on through social media, being persistent and consistent and streamlined your processes, but how did you start marketing your show back 7 years ago?
Well, it's very different than it is now, because when I was doing it, it was still relatively new. And like you said, even Instagram wasn't a thing. So video wasn't that much of a thing. So I started mine totally. All of my conversations were done over the phone or I have an internet microphone. You didn't really have the person there at all. And it was kind of just marketed through Twitter. And I kind of have the marketing background that you saw, and I knew about. I've kind of a vagabond, lived a lot of places. So I thought, well, I will reach out and I'll write little press releases to different LGBTQ magazines that I'd come across throughout the country. So I had that, and that kind of helped launch me a bit and get some listeners that way.
Sure.
But then last season, the first time back in March, I decided to go video, because that's what all the cool kids are doing these days, you know, and you have to have 5 second Twitter, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube things. If you don't have these things going on, your algorithms go down. I mean, this is what I've learned from you just talking to you when I had you on my show, and all the great things you do is what you need to do in video size. So I went to video, and it's a whole different animal. It's a new learning experience on how to market it.
It is. Get yourself on video. Yeah. You know, I mean, content is always king, in this case, queen. But even more so now, video, and ironically enough, just a tidbit for for you and listeners out there, I'm learning more about this myself, TikTok is actually in the process beta testing longer form content. So we're kind of trying to test out, is short form content better, or is now longer form content better, because you have more to say. It used to be, like 90 seconds or less on a reel on TikTok or Instagram, right? But now maybe people want to talk for 3, 4, 5, 6, 20 minutes at a time and still get their point across. Just a little tidbit for those listening today.
Well, I think for some people it's good. If you're a chef that wants to do a demonstration of something, you need those extra kind of minutes, right? I mean, you can really edit the heck out of something into a minute and a half, but how much can you explain in a minute and a half? But in 5 minutes, I can edit it down to a nice little cooking segment or something. Everybody has a camera on their phones these days. So yeah. I think you need the extra time just for... And I think we need the extra time for it to be educational, right? Instead of just mind-numbing 3 seconds of a dance move or whatever the current trend is.
Right.
Time to add an educational limit, not like beat you over the head, learn something, but it's just something that you can do, something you may not have thought of. How this plant daddy made his plant so green, whatever happens to be at the time, but you might want to hear more than 30 seconds of it, right?
And learn. And, COVID changed the landscape. It was all about the quick dance moves, the non-educational. It was more entertainment purposes. COVID changed everything, and it forever will change the landscape of social media. And we're learning more and more about that for even 5+ years later in the future, right? About the content. We want to be coddled as consumers. We want to learn more about recipes and cooking and books and art and shows, opera, so forth and so on, even podcasters, right?
Right.
We shouldn't just be, off the record, on the record, because, this is a podcast and I'm a marketing, guru. However, we should be speaking our truth and educating people in order to have them, be a part of our communities at the same time.
My question for you as a marketer is, tell me the advantages. I think the next phase I'm going, that's why I want to get your opinion and how we can use it, is streaming. Everyone's doing live streams on TikTok now at night. Everyone's doing live streams on Instagram. Talk about streaming versus posting. Is that do you see that as a trend to stay? And what's the advantages and disadvantages of it?
I think it is a trend that will fizzle out eventually, maybe the next 6 months to a year. But right now that landscape's certainly changing, and here's why. We want the instant gratification. The lives bring you right into someone's living room or an event on a road trip, right? Being part of that story and community. But also, they can save those pieces of content, the lives on TikTok, the lives on Reels through Instagram, even LinkedIn and Facebook, right? You can use those pieces and save them as evergreen pieces of content. That means there's no expiration date. Right. So we can evolve those, even break them down into clips, into series, so forth and so on. That's where I see that trend going. But the trend of lives is only going to last about another 6 months to a year and then kind of fizzle out. And I see the pendulum swinging back into going on Reels and Stories on Instagram and TikTok, to be honest. Yeah. But it's great because it's that instant gratification. We have 18 seconds that I tell my students to stop the scroll on a Reel on TikTok or even on, you know, on Instagram. 18 seconds. So stop with the hello, my name is, hey, everybody, get right into it. What's your gimmick that's going to stop the scroll, right? What's a factoid that you're going to share with your audience that nobody else is doing? And you could also utilize tools like ChatGPT and Ask AI or whatever, right? And other tools and tricks that on your phone and apps. But it all comes down to, Scott, being organic and being transparent with your audience, being educational, right? Teaching something and not just being salesy all the time at the same time. So that's my soapbox.
Well, that's why I'm excited to go in this journey with you. I'm excited to produce this podcast and partner with you and get it out there, because I think it's such a great thing to marry, because there's lots of aspects to it. Podcasting has the same kind of tricks of the trade you have to learn in marketing. If you don't hook your podcasting guests in the first 3 minutes, you're going to lose them, right?
Correct. And
podcasting everything has an algorithm these days, right? So podcasting, the algorithm is retention. How long are they listening to it? Are they listening? Whereas you want short things, like you were telling me about TikToks and things, for a podcast, they want to see how long is your listeners engaging. So they want a little longer type thing. So you need to find ways to hook a audience member in that first 3 minutes to make them, what's going to make them listen for the other half hour. It happens to be 20 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it happens to be. So that's why I think it's going to be an exciting journey for us, to me kind of giving you some what the trends are and you telling me, okay, this is what you need to do to make that trend happen, because you know how to do those things. So I love that.
Yeah. I am literally on my phone 24/7 learning, you know, not the TikTok dances, but learning the trends, what's working, what's not working, right? Twitter X, for instance, too, is a great platform that you can get on. And in the community, maybe a little bit different, maybe a little bit more risque, right? It's still the Wild West. And I even said, you know, as Twitter was evolving from Twitter to X, it's still the Wild West. Don't count that out yet. But video content is still very big on that platform as well. And getting yourself, but that's a shorter platform, short form content in which you can share a book review or maybe even a promo for a podcast, for instance. You know what I mean? But going back to Left of Straight, I'm still really curious. We heard about the evolution of how you started and how you marketed. How are you marketing now, 7 years, 7 seasons later?
Now you really kind of, I take advantage of my guests. I mean, one of the nice things about having some celebrity or personality type guests is you can use their social media platforms as well to help you get the word out there. So you're bringing people on, but they're talking to their followers and fans about it. So depending on how many followers or something they have, it can have a huge impact on my listenership.
Absolutely.
I still do the same thing. I'm learning how to do the couple of seconds. Our studio that we use here for podcasting, it creates automatically through AI little 1 minute clips that I can put out. So that's kind of one of the nice things about AI. I remember on your first show, you talked about how AI is kind of revolutionizing things. That's revolutionizing podcasting in a couple of ways. My studio here will now automatically through AI give me show notes, and it'll listen to my show and tell me what we talked about.
Wow.
It'll then go and give me anywhere between 3 to 10 little already social media ready to go little clips for it under a minute. So there's things that it can do that are pretty incredible.
So with AI, because I remember everyone was talking about it, everyone was a buzz. Social media platforms from Snapchat to TikTok to Twitter wasn't quite X at the time. January 1st, 2023, everybody was up in arms about AI. So do you feel that it's revolutionized the podcasting industry? And how do you feel that, you know, to niche it down, how is it helping or not helping the queer community get the word out about these podcasts and information?
I find it helping. And it's like, I'm just dipping my toe into it. I can see, because I interview a lot of actors and everything, I understand the bad side of social media, why they're trying to get this in their contracts and things. There's a lot of studios and things that are just recording random people and putting them into the background. They don't have to pay extras anymore. Correct. After this. So I can understand the bad part of it. For podcasting, AI has quite a few advantages to it. One being, and you talked about it so well with Paul on your first show, that you have to kind of, you have to make it human. You have to tweak it, and you have to use it in a way that's going to form your own way. But what I use it for a lot is for research, because I love researching is a big thing for me. So I can now go into an AI chatbot or something, and I can say, you are an LGBTQ podcaster. You are interviewing XYZ, who has written the brand new book, XYZ and LGBTQ. Write a podcast introduction for him and write and create 10 questions for that person. Mm-hmm. And so he'll give me this information, things that I might not have found in my research, and then I will massage it to how I speak, right? Just like Paul was saying the other day. So it's great for me to not, as a research guru who loves to find as much as I can, sometimes AI, because it's a little older, it'll find some more facts that I haven't looked back far enough, because AI is just now starting to get into 2024, right? It was all 2021, 22 and before.
Correct.
So they have more information, more previous than I have current. So that's what I enjoy using it for that.
You said something very interesting there, Scott, putting the human element back into AI, right? And it's all about, I want to reiterate, as we talked about with Paul in the first show, it's all about the input, right? You have to be very specific with your input on these apps or ask AI, chat, whatever they are, right? It will spit out maybe something that's relevant, or it may not be human at all, maybe sound too robotic. So you have to, as you had said, massage the content that comes out of it, the questions. Maybe revise it one or two or even up to five times, which I do sometimes with students and clients and even for myself. I always use things on myself first before educating the public or my students on these things as well to assist. Right. But as Paul has said in the first episode, utilize your resources at the same time, right?
Exactly. So yeah, I love it for that. I love AI for that. I love the AI that I'm finding in the studio now to make those social media clips that I don't have to pour through an hour interview to get five interesting clips. The AI finds some interesting things. And if I like them, great. And if I don't like them, I can go back and get my own out of it. That's not that big a deal.
Right.
I like the show notes that it does. So it kind of helps me do my descriptions. And they're usually done... I can't think of the word. You would know what I'm talking about, but you want it to be rich with keywords and things like that. And it kind of automatically does that. AI will do that automatically. So it will say things that I might not think of that are more searchable or more something along those lines. So I like it for that.
Now,
I just think it's a great tool. Like I said, it's not a replacement for anything, but it's a great tool. And it gives me a good foundation of some things. And then I add to it quite a lot.
And sometimes you have to, right? And as we said yesterday too, regarding the sub segment on AI, sometimes the apps won't produce exactly what you want and you have to start from scratch, which is okay. Because we're the humans trying to teach the algorithm how to speak more human, how to speak more even LGBT-centric at the same time.
Right.
So,
but I think what you said earlier and what's so important in podcasting is you need to have your voice. You have a unique voice. And that's something AI can never replace, is your voice, right? So they can give you the information, but I have to say it in my voice. So no matter what AI gives me, I'm going to tweak it a little bit. I have to massage it and tweak it, or else it's not my voice. It's the AI's voice. And it can maybe learn of things that I like, but it's never going to have my twist or my voice on it. So I think it's really important for me to take anything they take and then I totally make it mine.
How do you feel about AI? And I just had seen this yesterday on social media. One of these micro influencers was using AI to completely replace her ads on social media. And her facial expressions were off. They even reiterated or reimagined her voice and her background and her content. How do you feel about that? And do you think what we're learning, what we're both learning about AI, right? Especially to help produce podcasts in the community, so forth and so on. that it's going to revolutionize the future of social media and or podcasting? And do you feel that that's going to replace, you know, the human element completely as far as TV and music is concerned? How about that?
Yes and no. I think that it is, like I said, I'm learning as much as you're learning. So it's amazing the ones that are really good that you see, but I don't know how good they really are besides the examples they give you, right?
Right.
I've seen voice swap things. I've seen all sorts of different tools that can be used. I just don't know if it's better than one or two shot promos that it gives you on there. I think it's interesting, video or picture-wise, I'm doing another side project now that has nothing to do with podcasting, but where I'm making AI images. And it's very interesting to do AI images because there's things you have to check. And I've found it in social media before, and I'm finding when I'm creating them, there's like a third arm somewhere, or there's something, and unless you kind of, your mind sometimes will blank it out and you won't see it until you actually pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think you really have to, it's not where it needs to be yet. Let's put it that way.
It's not.
Do I see the potential? Potential could be scary out there where it could take, do a lot of things for you. But I think like anything, it's just, it's how you use it. So yeah, I think, I find it repetitive in a lot of the ways it says things. Like I've tried a couple things. Like I just, when I first got my chat AI, I was playing with it. Right. So like everyone, it's a new toy. I want to play with it. So I said, write me a song about XYZ. And I did this like four different prompts to different things, and they all came out kind of sort of the same. So I don't think it's there yet. They kind of had the same same kind of themes. They had a lot of the same words in them and things like that. They were different, but they were similar enough where you could tell that it was not an individual person putting out ideas. So
that's interesting too.
Yeah. So I think it could be evolving, but I don't think it's there yet.
I don't think it's there yet either. And you were talking about a specific tool. But I too have actually, Paul taught me a specific tool to use for graphics that also shoots out AI images. And they're also working on AI videos that are not up to speed, you know, as far as a regular video or promo is concerned. Very strange, a little trippy, a little fever dream-ish. The still images that I've used for clients, students, and even for myself, you have to be, as you had said, Scott, very particular and be very mindful and be very keen in what you're looking for, you know, with your input and your ask. But the output could be also very fever dream-esque. There could be a third arm, 20 fingers, the teeth may be off if it's a humanoid looking AI, you know, experience or graphic or image. But also at the same time, the flip side, the positive side, you can utilize that as one of your resources and not, you know, completely starting a graphic from scratch if you're using it as a still for a promo or, you know, something on your social channels.
Well, and the interesting thing that I find most interesting about it, I'd love to know your thoughts on this, is it creates this image and now you kind of own the copyright. From what I understand, if an AI, if you tell it to do this prompt, it's unique enough where you can kind of, is it unique enough? I don't know. I'm guessing that it is. It says it is. It says that I have the copyright. My little program that I use for images says I can use this image anywhere I want to use it. The AI machine doesn't own it. I can use it any way I want. I think that's interesting that you can now create property of your own that you didn't create at all. So that's kind of, it's fun and it's scary both at the same time.
It is. And, you know, I'm on the fence about that. Yes, the programs in which I use to say, you know, there's no copyright laws, you know, because you're technically not creating the image yourself, but your thought process is, right? Your input is really what's being, you know, is not copyrighted or can be once you use it on your social platforms. So AI, especially the generated images, there's still a wild west with the laws regarding that as concerned. But also be mindful, technically, you know, AI really there are humans behind that. So maybe if your image looks too similar to a piece of artwork or, you know, an artist piece of, well, music as well, or even a video through a certain platform looks too similar to something else, be mindful of whether or not you want to post that and make it your own and put your name to it. But again, I totally agree with, if you put it on your platforms and there are certain bylaws in which, you know, you signed off on, not you, but Gen Pop, of using these, you know, social platforms, then that content's owned by you. Technically, right. It is. And nobody can come after you technically if something really is copyrighted or not. So it's interesting to see the evolution of that as well, because something could look like maybe like a Sistine Chapel, right? Or something along those lines. But if it looks too familiar, I would definitely, you know, heed this warning and maybe not use it and regenerate that image for whatever you're going to try to use it at for your social platforms.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I'm testing it out. I'm creating these images and I'm going to put them out there and we'll see what happens with
it. It's fun.
It is fun. But there is, like you said, the line is blurred because it gives you styles of, right? So you can do style of tune, style of Van Gogh, style of, so you can do these things. So then how close is it really getting? And you, like you said, what are you matching and what are you not? So it is very interesting territory.
It really is. But also, again, going back to this one more time, utilize your resources. If you're in a pinch for a social media post and, you know, maybe you don't want to create a reel, you know, the static images are kind of making a comeback, especially on platforms like Instagram and sometimes Facebook Business. You know, the metaverse is an ever-evolving amoeba, right? We're never going to really put our finger on exactly what's happening because that's the point of AI, social media, so forth and so on. A graphic can be fun to create, but also, again, be mindful of what you're looking for. And if it looks too familiar, then please do not use it. Regenerate that image and maybe go from there. So there's that.
Well, I love it. Like I said, I'm very excited for our journey together here because I think you're going to learn, it's going to spark your creative mind. You have such a creative marketing mind.
Thank you so much. Podcasting
has so many great marketing potential to it. I mean, besides just giving yourself a platform to talk about something you love about, like myself or entertainment, foodies, and books, you can put it into a corporate setting and use podcasts for your company announcements. If you have a multi-unit corporation, you can, if you're a CEO, if you're the creator of such and such, you can create a podcast and send it out to all of your employees, right? And it's the best way. It's better than a newsletter because you're actually getting to see the person or hear the person. And so there's so many practical applications to marketing for podcasts. I'm excited to see what we come up with together. I just think that there's a lot of fun possibilities with it.
And the sky's the limit. And as you were saying, people listen to podcasts at the gym while they're on the treadmill or they're lifting weights on the plane, right? So there's a lot more, there's been a boom of podcasting, especially I think even more so now since COVID. You were saying at the beginning of the show, there were not a lot of LGBT podcasts when you started.
Right.
Now there are hundreds that you can choose from of all different splices of the rainbow at the same time. That's beautiful.
Exactly. And I mean, it used to be, I mean, books on tape were the big trend back in the day, right? Yeah. And now this is the new books on tape. Podcasts are your books on tape anymore. And so, and sometimes you get video with it, depending on your platform. So it's just a next gen step of a platform like that, I think. And that's why we see the technology always evolving.
And it has to. And so do we. Again, as Paul said yesterday on the podcast, practice makes progress. You don't want to be perfect. If you're perfect, you're dead in the water, right? We're not evolving and growing, but we have to, again, as we utilize our resources. I have one more question for you, Scott. What does the future of Left of Straight hold for you and your podcast and your guests?
Say that one more time.
What does the future hold for your podcast and your guests, especially if you want to maybe spill some tea of what's coming up this summer, potentially, that you're working on?
The future. I thought you said the feature. Sorry about that. The future of Left Street Podcast. Like I said, I am kind of reinventing it now. This season, I'm reinventing. Before it was the Left of Straight Show. Now it's Left of Straight Show interviews. Before it was Left of Straight Radio. This season, it's Left of Straight Podcast, to kind of be a little more specific. So my goal in the coming years here and months is to become a little more event focused. I want to start doing some events. I've had the privilege and the honor to talk to some amazing guests in entertainment, books, things like that. I would like to start doing the event part of it. So I'm doing a really fun, exciting thing that I told you a little bit about. It's called the Big Gay Road Trip. And I'm doing this summer. It's my third one I'm doing. I've done two others before the pandemic, where I drive my little happy butt from here in Northeast Ohio to Palm Springs, California, and I do a month of live shows. Northeast Ohio is not the biggest entertainment hub in the universe, though. So even when I wasn't doing phone, now that I've graduated from phone interviews to video interviews, I'm still doing video. I'm not doing it face-to-face because I don't have a lot of celebrities going through town in Northeast Ohio.
Okay.
So I like to bring my show to Palm Springs every year that I can to do a month of live shows. I bring celebrities in that I've talked to from LA and Orange County and live in Palm Springs and around the area and do that. So I've done that for two other years. This year I'm adding an event portion to it to kind of stick my feet slowly in that water, something I want to do because I talk to so many great people. A good friend of mine that I've made through the podcast, his name is Stan Zimmerman. Yes. He is the original, he wrote the very first season of The Golden Girls. He wrote a couple seasons of Gilmore Girls. He wrote for Roseanne. He wrote the very Brady Bunch sequel movies and everything. So him and his partner are very prolific writers. He put out his very first book, just came out this month, called The Girls from Golden to Gilmore, talking about all the people he's worked with in the industry. And Stan's the kind of guy, it's like, he's better than Kevin Bacon. He knows anybody that's anybody in the entertainment industry.
Wow.
Met them some way. So while I'm in Palm Springs, I'm having him come down and we're going to do a talk back about the Golden Girls, and we're going to read from his book. So we got a bookstore in Palm Springs that I'm going to facilitate. He's going to read a chapter that I'm going to facilitate a talk back about his book. So okay. That's the first event I'm going to do. Along the road to Palm Springs, I'm going to meet and talk to different celebrities live along the way and do little events in different cities along the way, little small events. I'm going to do two kickoff parties. I'm going to do a kickoff party here in Ohio and one once I get to Palm Springs that are going to be fundraisers for local community centers. And so that's going to be an event where we're going to do a auctions and things like that. And then I'll be kind of hosting or at least behind the scenes creating that event. And then my big thing for the podcast, if possible, while I'm in Palm Springs, I want to create an event. And I'm going to have a couple of my singers, like David Hernandez from American Idol, and Mockingbird, Jason Stewart, who's a great comedian and actor. And I want to put together a showcase of people down in Palm Springs and throw my very first event. So that's hopefully the future. We'll go from Left of Straight Podcast to Left of Straight Events page on the website. We'll see what happens.
Look at you, sir, evolving like Madonna. you're just going and going and going. That's amazing.
Striking a pose. Here we go. We're
striking
there.
A pose, voguing all the way to Palm Springs, right, California. That's amazing. Scott, thank you so much for producing, for mentoring. You're a font of knowledge, a beacon, and an inspiration, not only to myself, but I know to many but people in the community. Tell people how we can find you on social media, and then we'll wrap the show up.
I appreciate it. And congratulations to you on this new podcast venture. I mean, I've known you as a fantastic marketer, as a great author. We haven't even talked about your authorship yet.
Thank you.
But amazing author, amazing marketer, and I'm marketer, and I'm looking forward to this chapter in life. Thank you for letting me be a part of it and producing you on there. For those who want to listen to different LGBTQ podcasts, you can go to Left of Straight, and that's spelled a little funky, LeftOfStr and the number 8.com. Yep. And you can find everything off my website there, socials and podcasts and things like that. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much again, guys. Please, if you like this episode, follow us on Instagram at Pride N, P-R-I-D-E, the letter N, Promotion Cast on Instagram. And also follow me across all my social platforms as well. Personally, I normally don't do this, but you guys are amazing and special to me at Joseph A. Federico on social media. Thank you for joining another episode of Pride and Promotion Podcast, and go forward with pride. We'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
And just like that, we're putting the finishing touches on another fabulous episode of the Pride and Promotion Podcast. If today's conversation struck a chord, why not sing our praises with a quick rating and review on your podcast platform of choice? Your support is the spotlight that helps us shine and bring more folks into our ever-expanding audience. And don't forget to hit subscribe. Let's get social too. Follow us online for all the extra goodies, sneak peeks, and continued dialogue about marketing with pride and purpose. Tune in next time as we unfurl more colorful stories, champion the cause of inclusivity, and learn more from the creme de la creme of the industry. Until our paths cross again, keep pushing boundaries, stay true to yourself, and infuse every project with pride.